Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Once again, you have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. We talk primarily men. We know that every now and then we get some stealthy women that listen in. That's because they want to know what's going on in the lives of the men that are in their life. And so we welcome you also. But we talk primarily to the men. And that's what we're here for, to give away what God has given to us freely. Mm-hmm. And in the studio with me today, once a week I get him in here. He's so busy, this guy, I tell you what. He's running so many things. He's got plates spinning all over the place on these sticks. But anyway, Duke in the house. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Now you know how I stand a horse.
Yeah, there you go.
But
there
we do have to be careful not to become so busy that we lose that balance and perspective.
Yes. Yes.
It's so much we talk about here. Amen.
Well, the good thing is that you do listen to others with experiences, and you do take the time to walk your talk, okay? And that's what's important, because an awful lot of the time we just end up with just talking sometimes, where people actually need to see it in us.
Amen.
And seeing it in us, it's like, okay, solidifies, gives some credibility. So you have a lot of credibility, brother.
Thank you.
So the topic today, we're going to talk about this walk with Christ. We're just going to leave it as that. We'll get to talk about some things that we think are important. Maybe some things that we all have thought of what this walk is supposed to be like and how it didn't turn out that way. And why is that? But anyway, so we'll be jumping into that momentarily here. But in the meantime, we always like to talk about a little bit of encouragement, and because we all need encouragement, right?
Amen.
So I know you have a little something here because you even mentioned it.
I do.
Okay, let her fly, brother.
The encouragement came in gift-giving, but not the presence you and I might think about. It came from the gift-giving of the hearts of other men. Each year there is a annual men's advance, a gathering with a special speaker and a time of what we might call refreshment. And a lot of guys can't afford to go, but they would love to go. And you know, I remind guys that Jesus didn't minister to all the rich guys. He ministered to those that were beat up, downtrodden, and poor like us, right? Well, the gift is, as I asked other men to contribute, yes, to support sponsorships for the less fortunate to be able to go to this annual event, they stepped up big time. I got everybody sponsored. I got, I think, 6 or 7 guys right now that are going on sponsorships of other guys. And the only reason they gave that gift away, Raul, is because those guys are either going or have been to that kind of event, and they know what's going to happen. They know that that brother is going to receive something you just can't receive in daily life or even in church.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I was so encouraged to see the guys. And as I processed that, and I sponsored a guy, I thought, why did I do that? It wasn't to be do something good for God. I know what this guy's got in store, and it's going to be just cool.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful encouragement. That happened just last night.
All right.
As a bunch of these guys came to the plate. So.
Did you get any guys that you didn't come up with enough funding for them to go?
No.
So everyone got
covered. Everyone is taken care of. Yep.
Nice. Yep. Nice. Praise God.
That's how we come together.
You know, when we start to realize that the things that we have were given to us by our Lord. Yes, even the work that we do, the ability to be able to work to earn a living, all of that comes from our Lord. you know, so that we would end up eventually being able to help those who need the assistance. Because somebody was there for us at one time or another.
Amen.
So like we talked about earlier, that we give away freely what we have received freely. And in doing so, everyone's blessed, the receiver and the giver. And then there is faith that is increased by those who are actually seeing it in action, right? But, you know, there's others sitting there going, wow, that guy doesn't have any enough money to give away to help somebody else, and yet he does it anyway. How beautiful is that to see the sacrifices that are given like that, heartfully, not because they're trying to score points with God, but because they know it's the right thing to do, to be able to help this individual to be able to hopefully see something or hear something that will benefit them in their life.
Oh, and there's the agenda there, of course, too, is as these guys return after this weekend, I know there'll be conversation about how impactful it was, mm-hmm. and it'll be another encouragement to all the guys of how we reach out and we lock arms and we help brothers and we grow our kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. His kingdom.
For the guys here in the Northwest, there's probably still tickets available for this.
Yes. Right?
And it's at Warm Beach over in the Snohomish County.
That's correct. Warm Beach Camp. And if you went to the Warm Beach website, you'd see events. It's called the 2016 Men's Advance.
Yeah, there you go.
And you click to register.
And that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Friday night, and then all day Saturday, part of Sunday.
All right. Yep. There you go. Good encouragement. And we always like to talk about things that are taking place to be able to light up men's hearts for Jesus, because that's what it's all about. It's not about any one ministry that has it all together. It's about unifying with all of them to be able to reach men who are in places where we used to be and just given away. So, all right. Well, thanks for the encouragement, brother. Has something to do with, and we've been to these events before, maybe early on in our walk with Christ, or maybe before we even accepted him in some cases, where all of a sudden we wanted a different life, because life, the way that we had seen it and the way we'd been living it, we come to realize that we're powerless over many, many things, if not everything. Right?
Amen.
And so we get to that place of brokenness, and I believe that's where the Lord wants us, because it's difficult for us to truly desire him and knowing what is, well, maybe not even knowing, but having an inkling that I wonder what this is all about. You know, these guys, I see these guys who say they've been busted up and Jesus came and he was there. He was always there. He's always pursuing them. And they finally gave in and said, okay, Lord. And it's not a give in type of thing. It's not like uncle, you know.
Right.
It's more of that, you know, hey, I do need help. And I want something different than the way I've been doing it. Whether we're addicted to, whether it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling, anger, all the challenges that men have all the time, you know, having challenges in your marriages and relationships, all of those things, when we realize that there's, what I'm hearing from these other guys is that they were overcome. They overcame those areas. But it wasn't by their might or their power. It was by Jesus. And so that gets everybody's curiosity, and then all it goes from there. But so often we can get off track very quickly, right?
Oh, I think from the start, much of what you just described is, I'm going to say, mainstream, myself included. I knew about God because you got to be living in a hole not to have, you know, see churches have been approached or something, right? And the proposition in that was that the people that believe in that stuff, they seem to live almost a false lifestyle. That's all, everything's always rosy and, you know, a little self-righteousness going on. And I kind of resented that, you know. But secretly, I wanted it too.
Yeah.
I wondered how does that work? Well, then you get to the place of brokenness where now it ain't up to me anymore, and I've got to give in. I've got to recognize that I cannot do this anymore, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that point of brokenness allows us, I guess, to be humble enough to open up to that possibility. But I got to tell you, brother, and many of the listeners can relate to this, that when that proposition was before me, one of the, I guess, reasons I was motivated, I thought, okay, my way hasn't been good, but this way of going with the God, they always seem to get it good. So you know what? If all I have to do is believe in this Jesus and do the things the Bible says, I probably won't find myself in this place ever again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's the wake-up call.
Yep, exactly.
But isn't that what we think? I mean, by and large, because when I talk with other men, and we discuss the proposition, it's this combination of the fear of not wanting to go to hell if it's all real kind of deal, and the fact that they believe that if they do this or they commit to or whatever that looks like, that they will somehow be blessed. Life will be easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also comes along with that idea that, you know, maybe if I just kind of give it to God, then I'll take it back a little bit later. So I can then do, because now I've got him in my back pocket and going from there. Because maybe most guys don't understand this. I'm a controller. And the more that I understand something, the better I can control that situation or that individual, more that I understand it. So it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you know what? I think I'll go down this track and then just get what I can. And little did I realize how, I became very dangerous at that time, you know, when you got a little bit of Jesus in you and you sit there and you think that, you know, now I can start proclaiming this and proclaiming that and I feel this and I feel that and, you know, and it just leads to more lessons to be learned, right?
Amen. So many times I would ask myself, what does this Christian lifestyle look like, I guess? Well, what does it look like to follow Christ? Is it what I thought it was or not?
Yeah.
And those challenges come in many different forms. What I've come to learn, of course, is that that it isn't necessarily peaches and cream. Mm-hmm. I do believe we receive great blessing and, yes, and great guidance, and I do think there are great heartaches that are maybe deterred.
Yeah.
But along with that, it's something that Satan doesn't like.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be bringing everything he's got.
Yeah.
And therein lies that dance.
Well, you know, it's usually when there's a change in life like this, and this is what it is. This walk with Christ is a life-changing experience. I believe it must be, because it's otherwise we look at it like a diet. Like, you know, at the first of the year, everybody's sitting there saying, and we'll just use weight as a thing, right? I need to eat less of this and less of that so that I can start getting healthy, okay? And so many of us have done diets over the years that we've been around and or attempts to try to better health as a result of eating better, right? And those usually end up being futile because somewhere along the line, we end up giving in and don't keep that up. And I think sometimes it's just a matter of the mindset of how we look at things, you know? Instead of just a diet, which always seems that it has a limit on it for a certain time, no matter, and it's the word diet, I think, is what does it. But if we look at things as of saying that this is a life-changing experience, this is something where I want to be able to do continually for my whole life because this is going to benefit me. And then I have a tendency of saying, well, okay, you know what? Maybe I can just get used to this, eating with maybe no salt or my product or whatever I'm eating, right? But how do I do that? If I try to think for the rest of my life and I'm only like in my 20s or my 30s, I'm going, I don't know if I could do this, you know? I'm going to end up slipping up sometime. See, we're already setting up in our head to fail.
Okay? Yes.
And the key is that we follow what Jesus says. Whoa, follow what Jesus says. Yeah. As a follower, we want to know more about what the instruction manual says. And he says to take each day as it is. Just stay focused into this day because this is the day I've given you. And in Psalms, it reminds us that we'll rejoice and be glad in this day and be joyful in it. Okay? So this is the day he wants us to be in it. So we do this thing one day at a time. Just like when he had the Israelites out there in the desert. He gave them enough food, enough manna for each day. And when they end up taking more, I'll just save some up, it got rotten overnight, right?
Yes.
And so the same thing here. Now, Now, mind you, this is a precept. This is a principle of living one day at a time. It doesn't mean that I just, I'll survive today and then I'll maybe get work tomorrow if God tells me I need to work and, blah, blah, blah. No. Our heads are always trying to look for the easier, softer way. And sometimes there isn't an easier, softer way. You're going to just have to go through the refining fire.
Well, and isn't that as many of the analogies we've spoke about before, from being used to what our diet is and changing our diet,
yes,
how difficult that is,
yeah,
an exercise program,
yes,
whatever it seems that we engage to improve ourselves, oftentimes the antidote of, well, if it's worth doing, it's there's going to be pain and struggle, and if that doesn't exist, then it
wasn't. No pain, no gain.
Amen. So, we talk about a diet, one of the things that used to strike me is in Galatians 5, where it says, this is my current diet before I got to know Jesus. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And then right after that, it follows up with what it's supposed to look like. And that's from the fruit of the Spirit given to us by faith in the Holy Spirit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit, you will see these things in your life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So I'm like, okay, there's a cavern to cross. This has been my diet.
Yep.
And now my new diet looks really hopeful. And that's the one day at a time that you were talking about. Man, to bridge that, that's Grand Canyon, brother.
Yeah, yeah. There's one thing is that, we have this thinking that, oh, one day at a time, that comes from a 12-step program. No, it comes from the Bible. 12-step program came from the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. So it came from the Word of God. Okay. Let's take a break right now, and then we'll come back, and we'll continue talking about this sort of thing, about what this looks like in this walk. Should we choose to be a disciple, or is that something that we are right off the bat? Well, let's talk about that little area as soon as we come back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Ah, the brisk days of winter. It's cold enough in the hills that the trout are already tap dancing. But it's warm and cozy in my kitchen, and my nose is in the wind with the tantalizing aroma of a Hempler's ham in the oven. Serve with some mashed potatoes and cornbread on the side, and you're talking about pure heaven. Now, I know some of you are worried about additives and nitrates and such. Some of you are as nervous about that as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But here's the thing. Hempler's makes it very easy to eat healthy. Choose an all-natural Hempler's ham. These hams have no nitrate, and they're completely free of phosphates, artificial color, and other chemical preservatives, just like Mama used to bake. To order any of the delicious Hempler's meats online for your family, go to Hemplers.com.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
Owners and managers of businesses are always looking for a good way to spread the message about their product or service. Well, we invite you to try advertising on our talk shows here at faithplace.org. We have very engaged listeners, and we keep the cost of advertising super low. When you partner with us, you'll receive a commercial on each one of our shows: Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show. And when you advertise with us, you'll not only help your business, but you'll be helping this ministry continue on. We're so excited to hear from listeners all around the world who are being inspired to put their trust in Jesus Christ. For more information about advertising on our talk shows, simply email info@faithplace.org. Yep, that's info@faithplace.org.
Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left with his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside him, shining like a lighthouse from the sea. Brother, let me be your skeleton. Never.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio and Duke and Raul, and we're talking about this walk of being a Christian. You know, that could be, well, we know this, it could be very challenging, but it could also have its benefits of the joy, of the peace of mind, of the glory of God, knowing that, hey, he, you know, we're doing what he wants us to be doing. Not so that we all of a sudden have a spot in heaven. Well, guess what? When you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, hey, man, you found your spot in heaven. Now, can you lose that? Well, that's another discussion for another time. We're not going to get off on that area. But here's the deal. Right now, today, getting hooked up and staying hooked up with our Lord is going to secure us in being able to know that, hey, he has blessed us and taking us away from a life that was not leading in the right direction, was probably heading toward death, a physical death in some cases, okay? But now he's given us opportunity to be able to see how we could be of purpose, of good purpose, his purpose. And in doing so, what ends up taking place, we start to get involved, okay? And part of that, we hear this word disciple, okay, of what that looks like and what that sounds like as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, not just the follower's a disciple and what that looks like. So anyway,
and a student. That's why Jesus was often referred to as teacher.
Yes.
When they would
yes.
ask him questions.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's about learning, you know, about him and about the principles and precepts of what he has put in this book that we call the Bible, that's composed of 66 books, right? And to let us know that, hey, this is what I want you to learn. And as you apply this into your life, I want you to keep letting others know about it also. I mean, we're all called to do that. Matthew talks about it in Matthew 28 about going and giving, making disciples of all men of all nations, right? And baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Teaching them to obey.
Amen.
Right? And so that means that we're all called to do that.
Yes.
That's the whole reason that we're actually created. When you get into the Word, you come to see that and realize that, man, I was created for a purpose. It says long before the world was even created or even thought of, he thought of me. He thought of you.
Yes.
All these men who are listening, he thought of you. He knew. See, I thought I was a mistake. See, I was conceived in sin. Okay? I thought I was a mistake and there's no reason, especially when I got older and come to find out that I was conceived in sin, that all of a sudden I go, what? You know, I wasn't planned like everyone else I hear about, that they were planned.
Hmm.
Well, I was planned, all right, but not by the way that the world sees it, but how the Lord saw it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And I used that thinking for years and years to qualify or justify my behavior in so many ways. I could blame other people in the world and everything else. Well, that wasn't going to make things any better because you know what? We're designed, every one of us, to live for eternity. But where we're going to live is determined by how we live here and what we do here on this earth. This is only a stepping stone.
Oh, and I got to tell you, I'm looking at different, you know, videos from time to time on YouTube, and this proposition of eternity came up actually with our pastor, and then I watched a Francis Chan, I think is the guy, preacher,
yes.
And he's got an extension cord that you can't even see the end of the extension cord, But the one end he's got in his hand is the plug and the little black end, and it's the yellow cord. And his whole message was the black end is the time that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
How temporary it is.
Yep.
And that we really should be about the end game.
Yep.
And, you know, and I just read in the Gospel of Mark another rendition of they're on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is responding to their questions about how will we know when the end has come. So Jesus begins to describe, but as he's describing what's supposed to be happening, he's interjecting this thing about having faith in all things, the things not seen, the things they don't understand, things that he could not even reveal to them.
Right.
And
right.
So I thought, you know what? It seems that this walk, this proposition of a better life, better job, bigger home, great, you know, whatever that looks like is the churchies, the Christian people, right? That once I began into that walk, that's when I started learning, like a lot of us in this journey, the faith piece.
Yes.
The faith, is this really, how do I get there from having this diet of junk food to something more healthy? And so I looked in my NIV and I thought, you know, I wonder how many times faith is used in the Bible. Came up with 488 mm-hmm. different references of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there's got to be some significance there, huh?
Yeah. Well, and the faith actually, it comes from the Lord to us. When we actually hear of hope for our lives, that's where it begins, right there. And as a result of that, our walk with Christ, you know, he will actually set everything up for us, that every conversation that you have, every person that you meet, there's a reason and purpose for it.
Amen.
And in doing so, we end up looking at life differently. You know, and we ought to, because the way that we were doing it before wasn't working, right? I mean, supposedly.
Well, in most cases, once the pressure is relieved a little bit, that's one of the dangers. You go, well, that wasn't so bad. I'll only drink once a week instead of every day.
Or, I'll only smoke one joint a day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or whatever.
No, such
whatever
a lie.
It might be. I'll just look at women in magazines rather than on the internet. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, is that that's where I had mentioned before, we become a little more, little dangerous when we get a little bit of Jesus in us.
Mm.
But we really need to know, you get to that place of realizing that, man, this is not a cakewalk. This is challenging. This is this, and all of a sudden, I can't believe I actually have been doing this. I was just in church, you know, praising God and everything, you know, 4 weeks ago, and now I'm doing what I'm doing here now. I can't believe what happened.
Or when things really, I can remember having conversations with my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know, I've been faithful. I've been obedient. I've been going to church. I've been doing the men's thing. I've been doing, and oh man, this, and some event occurs out of your control. It's like, what is up with it? What is he testing me? Is he, you know, it takes some of those experiences, the wisdom of others through fellowship, seeking out the senior pastor, others that have been in the battle, where you learn how you navigate through that and still keeping your eye on the ball and having that faith.
Yes.
And then it does manifest. It's the James 1, 2 through 3.
Yep.
You know, the fiery trial, and you'll find joy in it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What a challenge.
Well, you know, there's a few points here that actually help lead us and keep us in this life that is changing us, okay? And one of the first points is actually making Jesus first above all things. He has to stay on top as a priority above all things. He even reminds us when they asked Jesus, said, what is the greatest commandment, right?
Yeah, it was to love God with first, foremost, all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Seek me with everything you got, everything you got, each and every day, not just one time, each and every day. And because we need him each and every day, and even throughout the day.
Oh, and I can wrap my head around the first one.
Yeah.
But he said two things.
Well, yes, but the other one, of course, is to think of others more highly than yourself, or treat them as you love yourself. And some guys say, well, I don't love myself. Yes, you do. When you're hungry, you feed yourself. If you're cold, you can put on something warm or warm yourself. If whatever you need to take care of yourself, you'll do whatever you need to. Even the guys who are living on the street are the same way.
Yes.
If they're cold, they're going to ask for a blanket. They're going to get something to try to stay warm. You know, they're going to try to comfort themselves. They love themselves. And
hey, these are not our bodies. They belong to the Lord. And once you've asked him into your life and asked him to save you, and he did, and you ask him to manage your life, guess what? You're no longer yours. You're bought with a price, according to Scripture.
Yes.
And that price was the death of Jesus on the cross. He died for your sins and my sins, so that we would be able to be used for the purpose that he created us. And most people think, or the way that I used to think, oh, this world, I need to get as big a slice of the pie as I possibly can. I got to look for that brass ring to be able to do what I want to do and be able to have all the money and power and prestige so I can have all the things that I want. And people will want for me, and if I want them, I'll take them. If I don't, I won't take them. You know, that type of attitude. Now, it may not be that kind of attitude, but it may be more self-oriented of selfish, in a sense. And that's who we are as in the nature, right?
Amen. And so, that's that whole faith piece, that whole what does the Christian life look like, and that battle, I guess, that struggle, that challenge and all that, it really is truly manifest that the things that are worth pursuing, there's a price to be paid. And faith, you know, the Holy Spirit will lift us up, will guide us, will help us through those things in a way that there's no way you could. It wasn't that long ago I was having a conversation with a guy, and I was asking him, I says, well, where does your hope lie?
Yes.
And he goes, hope in what?
Yeah.
I said, well, hope in something beyond what we're here for.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're just here, and then we go in the ground, the worms eat us kind of thing, you know. But yet in the same conversation, he couldn't deny that he felt that we are a product of creation.
Yeah.
That is, we didn't just poof and we were here. So it was quite an interesting conversation. Now, this is a fellow that wasn't knocked to his knees. But the idea was that he did want to know a little bit about what the Christian lifestyle looked like.
Be amazing, some of the things. Be careful what you look for, you pray for.
What you pray for.
In the book of John, chapter 8, it talks about in verse 31, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? So often we want to know, why am I here? What is the truth? Why am I here? Okay? I just accepted Jesus, but truly, why am I here? Well, he says, seek my teachings. Come to know. So that means maybe I ought to get into the Word of God. That Bible that somebody has given me, or I purchased, or that I have in my home, or someplace in my home, I need to maybe pull it out. Maybe a good place to start would be in the Gospels.
Amen.
Okay? And just read in the New Testament. Don't worry about reading the very beginning. You'll get to that Old Testament also through reading the New Testament, because it's going to refer back to all of that. Okay? So if you start in the New Testament, in the Gospels, probably a good place to start. Book of John is a good one. You don't have to do them in any specific order, but go where the Spirit leads you. I'm just suggesting the book.
No, that's cool. The one thing I like about the four Gospels, although they're from four different perspectives, they have the same core story, I guess. And the coolest thing about it to me is this is where these disciples asked Jesus questions, like if you and I could be with Jesus for, let's say, a couple of days. I don't know about you, but I have kind of a list of questions. He probably wouldn't get much time. But these guys had that advantage of, and that's why I love the Gospels. I can read stuff. Even when Mark records asking Jesus, how will we know that the end is here? He was able to get that answer right from him. And even then, for them to maintain that walk was a struggle. But to know that there are these core answers, I guess you'd call them, that will help guide us, the Gospels is a great place to begin to get those. These guys ask questions that I would ask.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got to ask them right to God.
Ooh. You know, it's, but you know what? Let's do this. I was just going to make a statement. I'm going to hold off on that. Let's take our second break here, and we'll come back, and we're going to continue on. Got three more things that we want to be able to tell you about. Another step is the fruit. How do people see the fruit from us? What does that mean? Should we be buying produce and carrying it around with us? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you've been helped by Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, or The Carolyn Merriman Show, there's a super easy way, totally painless way, for you to help our talk show ministry continue. All you have to do is link your Fred Meyer or Kroger or Amazon account to our nonprofit ministry, which is called Great Awakening Productions. To find out how to do that, just click on the purple donate button on our podcast websites. Scroll down and find out how to link your Amazon account, your Kroger account, or your Fred Meyer account to Great Awakening Productions. Then every time you shop, those retailers will donate a small percentage to our ministry. It's that easy. Thank you for partnering with us.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one of a kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at CascadeMonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
Pastor's wife and wives ministry leader, Debbie Chavez.
There's a way to bring things up that helps you to have a calm conversation where your husband doesn't get defensive. Here's an example of how to do it wrong and how to do it right. The wrong way would be to say, I can't believe how you treat our kids. Okay, that's not a good opening line.
No, never.
Because immediately...
Defense.
Defense, right? But what if you start out by saying, I know that you love our children dearly. I wonder if you notice that they tend to shut down or start crying a lot or, you know, slam the door and go hole up in their bedroom after, you know, they've done something you didn't like and you've responded. Have you noticed their reaction? And so you're just opening up a dialogue, and then you can say, you know, I'm wondering if we could come up with a different way.
The Debbie Chavez Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless, has made you flawless.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and, you know, we came to just another point that we want to talk about, and that's the fruit. We often hear that, and you've heard it, whether it be from the pulpit or in conversations with others, that, you know, he has good fruit, or he gives, you know, good fruit. And sometimes there's a statement made that you got to be careful over there. That's not the best fruit, or, you know, it's maybe not rotten fruit in a sense, okay? And when he's talking about the fruit, he's talking about a way of living. He's talking about of being able to be perceived and seen how to live in certain, in different scenarios, different venues in the sense of life and everything. And you mentioned it earlier in Galatians, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? And that's, you know, what we're to, you know, to be able to give away and to be able to live like. Those are the principles. But it's so difficult to do sometimes, right? And so often we think that I just need to just, you know, let me put it this way. You can't give away something you haven't got, okay? And if you've got it, people are going to know it.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit's going to continue keeping you filled with what he wants you to give away. And if you're doing it on your own for whatever reason, to look good or to sound good, to make it seem like you are something that you're not, you're not going to receive it, but you'll get it otherwise.
No, and I love the analogy that Jesus, when he speaks, oftentimes refers to a tree, a fig tree, a vine, a plant, the idea of this fruit of the Spirit did confound me a little bit. I didn't understand it till I got into his word and I saw all of those metaphors, those examples.
Right.
And okay, so I was able to visualize a not so healthy tree with not so great apples versus the California orange tree with all the oranges that are glowing. And the idea of these fruits of the Spirit, that I think, Raul, is what drew me to the idea of even seeking God in the church. That was a little bit of that, that what I thought was self-righteousness.
Right.
And not that some of that hypocrisy doesn't exist, of course, but I think what I was seeing by and large when I would see the church people was those fruits.
Yes.
So this the idea of this Christian walk, although it does have those pitfalls and it does have the steep hills, the fruit, and we could see that in others, as you had mentioned.
You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, I love this portion of John. But anyway, I'm just going to read a part of it here, a few verses. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So here he is. He's letting us know. Jesus is speaking those words.
Yes.
He's letting each one of us know that, hey, you stay connected with me. So how do we stay connected to him? Well, we continually give him thanks for all that we're going through throughout the day. You know, we take for granted so often, maybe I shouldn't say we, but I believe it's true because I've been around enough men in talking about this sort of thing. And sometimes we take for granted the fact that we have a hand with five fingers on it, or four fingers and a thumb, however you want to look at it, you know, that we can actually see. We may have assistance with some glasses sometimes, but we're able to see. About the man who does not have that ability, okay, to be able to speak or to be able to have a driver's license or to be able to walk that has two legs or maybe one leg but has an assistance with a crutch or whatever it might be or a wheelchair. Praise God that you have that because there are those who don't have that. So my point is that the more often that we are staying connected to that vine, I think in gratitude is the best way of being able to do that, saying thank you to the Lord for everything. Thank you, Lord, that Duke was able to make it here this morning. We could have this show together. Thank you that we have the equipment to be able to put this on the internet so other men can hear more of you. You know, thank you, Lord, that we're able to know your word because you gave us an opportunity to. Okay, so there and we can do that in everything that we do, even in your work. Even in your conversations, everything that takes place in your day. And when we do that, we're staying connected to him. Guess what? He says, when you seek me, you know what? I'm going to give you what you need.
Yes.
You know, those fruit of the Spirit. That's of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God. Okay? This is his fruit that he wants you to be able to give away to others. And in doing so, you're going to stay connected to him. You're going to be able to do that.
Well, and one of the ways that I have had the fruits, I guess, be expressed is this idea of how difficult it was to give away that old diet.
Yes.
This Holy Spirit, I think once it dwells in us, it's a regeneration that sets off an alert system that lets us know things have changed. And by that I mean those things that I thought were pleasurable become uncomfortable, such as the F-bomb. Or smoking.
You're not talking about fruit.
No, not that. It's those things that I thought I was completely comfortable with, that there's this transformation that occurs, that although it might be difficult, in a way, it's kind of cool when you conquer potty mouth. It's cool when you begin to look at your wife in a different way than you did before, or you're really realizing how much time you need to spend with your kids. And that whole picture, that is so sustaining, Raul, that without those things, without the Spirit allowing that regeneration to happen, it would still be based on all of our own strength. Well, that's what goofs you up in the world. So you have faith that he will provide for you in these ways, and he does.
Yes, yes. A couple more points I want to make here, and this is good because you're giving a little commentary along with what I end up saying. Love for others, for other disciples, mm-hmm. okay? This is what he wants us to be able to do, okay? In the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So when we are together in unity, okay, with other brothers, and we're talking about other believers right here. This is where we're to love each other, okay, to encourage each other, you know, not to control others, not to try to get them on your team and to think a certain way. It's all about Jesus, not about us. And we're connected to the vine. A lot of that stuff, because it's not stuck with us, will remain in us, okay? And that's really what we want, is to be able to remain connected to the vine. So in loving each other and encouraging each other, we're going to be doing exactly what he wants us to do.
Amen. There's where the strength lies, because I don't know if there's a listener out there that might not have felt as we have at different times about questioning this idea of following the instructions of the Bible.
Yes.
That when we don't, because we live in such an environment of gratification, when the good stuff doesn't always show up, we tend to question if we're not good enough, doing it wrong, or being tested, and all that other stuff.
Yes, yes. The last point I want to make, because we're running out of time here, is giving it away.
Amen.
Evangelism, okay? Making disciples of others. We talked about that earlier, Matthew 28, where it says to go and make disciples of all men, of all nations, okay? And that is what we are called to do. That's part of our purpose, okay? Doesn't mean we all have to be on a mission trip somewhere in the world. The world is where you are.
Yes. That's
right in front of you. Begin at home. Begin with your wife. Begin with your children. Begin with those that you live with. Begin with your parents. Begin with whomever it is that is connected with you, in front of you. Let them know of what you do believe. Just give away what you've been given. Don't try to give away something you haven't got. And in doing so, you're going to be able to be blessed. You get to stay connected with him. And when you're connected with him, you're going to desire him more. And as you desire him more, go there. But know this, the enemy is out there, and he knows that you're desiring to get to know Jesus more. He's going to tempt you more, but God is faithful. There's no temptation that is unique to man.
Mm-hmm.
And every temptation, you seek God, and he will show you a way out.
Yes.
Okay, every time, all right? And so that's 1 Corinthians 10, I think it is. I believe it is. Anyway, look that up. But anyway, so we're at that position and place where we need to give away. And when we give away, it comes full circle.
And you know, something we touched on earlier, I'll say briefly, the giving away part sometimes needs no words, nothing more than the transformation that's occurring in you, and others are seeing, hey, there's something different about Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I want it.
Yeah, we always use that kind of, I think I want it.
Yeah.
That's an easy out. But somewhere along the line there, you realize, in hindsight, that that's really the Holy Spirit saying, it's time. So now is the time. So how about you, good topic, brother, good show. How about sharing with the men in prayer?
Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray that the men or stealthy women that have received this message this morning, that they would embrace it, go to prayer, and see what it is that you have in mind to guide them, that they trust and have faith in that, and take it one day at a time. In your precious name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom.